I could walk, I could talk, and I'm glad. I could walk, I could talk, and I'm glad. Jesus woke me up this morning, and I'm glad. How about this? He put food on my table, and I'm glad. I'm so glad. Look at somebody smile when you say that. I'm so glad. 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 Jesus woke me up this morning, and I'm glad. One more time. Listen to this. I could walk. I could talk. And I'm glad. I could walk, I could talk, and I'm glad. I could walk, I could talk, and I'm glad. Jesus woke me up this morning, and I'm glad.
You ought to praise the Lord. Come on, lift a hand, praise the Lord.
Presence of the Lord. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Blessed with the opportunity to come before thy throne of grace. Lord, we are blessed with the opportunity to grace these walls of this sanctuary one more time.
My Lord.
We thank you for these open doors. Thank you, open door to a loving and kind Father. We praise you because you are worthy to be praised. We come here, Lord, this morning because we need you in a mighty way. Lord, we come here this morning not so much because we need you, but we want to take this moment to just stop and say thank you. Lift up our hands, lift up our voices, giving praise unto thee. And then, Lord, we come not always in good standing with you. And we look to seek thy forgiving grace. We're looking for that little prick in our hearts that says, hey, you've done wrong. You even erred in your life. Acknowledge this, and I'm always willing with outstretched arms to welcome you back into the household, to forgive you of whatever sins. And Lord, we are here just for that. Ask you to bless us in a mighty way. For you have made it clear that you would throw it as far from you as it is from the east to the west. We are forgiven. And we ask you to bless us. That as we have approached our grace, confessed our faults, received our blessings, we ask you to strengthen us that we don't keep on beating on the door on the same old thing over and over again. We pray for thy power that we might be able to overcome those things in life that causes us to err. It is in Jesus' name we seek thy grace and thy mercy. We thank you for those who are able to press this way this morning against the storm. Against the pain, against Satan. We just thank you that we're here. Just woke us up this morning with a mind to press this way. We thank you. We woke up for the last two Sundays with a mind and a heart to press this way. We thank you, Lord, that we are here right now. And whilst we're here, we're going to praise your holy name. We ask you to touch those who want to be here, who strongly desire to be here this morning. We ask you to bless them right where they are, for they have done all they can do. We ask you to lift them up. Lift them up in spirit, Lord, that they might be joyful right where they are this morning in thy Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make them comfortable, for we don't like where we are. Don't like what we're doing, and don't like where we've been. But we just love you because you take us just because you love us. Not because we're good, not because we did any good, but your love overshadows everything. Keep us by thy mighty power. We thank you for how you blessed our pastor in a mighty way, his wife, his children. And we ask you, Lord, to not leave them now, because the storm has only begun. We have a long ways to go. Strengthen them, Lord. Keep them by your mighty power. Comfort them in their mind and their heart. Give them peace. Give them the joy that overcomes all things, that supersedes all things, kind of like casts a shadow over everything. We ask you, oh Lord, to hold them up and bless them, because, Lord, it is through them that you are able to bless others. Help us, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Make us be what you would have us to be. In Jesus' name, we profess these things. Right now, Lord. We don't need to wait another day. Right now, Lord. You can bless us. We need your blessing. Then, Lord, we thank you for this building on this corner. And as we look toward the vision that you have shared with us, bless us, Lord, that we can get started, get moving, going in the right direction. You sent out your prophets to do a job. You sent out your people to do whatever they had to do. Put up the new gates, put up the new wall, gain new land. You wouldn't let them sit down. Get up. Move forward.
Yes.
Get the job done.
Yes.
I know it's hard, but I'm going to be with you. You always said. And Lord, we don't know of a case. Not one case where you didn't do what you said you would do. And we know that we are no different here now than they were then. The wall can go up. The gates can be hung. Souls can be saved. Bodies can be healed. We know you're able, Lord. The fault is in us and not in you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
in the simple things in life. You're the music, the meadows and the streams. There are voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finish of my highest dreams. Oh, Jesus,
my joy, my joy, my joy, my joy, my joy, my joy. Jesus.
Preaching time. And humbly, Lord, I submit again myself unto you, that you, Lord, would speak to me and through me, that I might in turn stand in confidence and declare all these words of life before this your people. Forgive us again, Lord, of our sins, and be ever so merciful unto us. I pray, God, that your anointing will fall certainly fresh in this place. We seek, Lord, your will and your way. God, I thank you for this opportunity. And I entrust now, Lord, myself to you for the responsibility that we might say unto them, live. Have mercy, God. Make preaching easy, that their listening would not be in vain. And cause us, Lord, that after we have shared some time here together, that when we leave this place, we shall leave better than whence we came. It is in the precious name of Jesus that I do pray, and we all say together, amen. Would you look with me in the Old Testament of the Bible, in the first poetry book, the book of Job, the 23rd chapter of Job's book, and beginning at the 8th verse, Job chapter 23, beginning at verse 8. And we are reading from the Revised Standard of the Holy Word, and encourage your hearts to stand in reverence to the Word of God as we read just a few passages. It won't be much longer, but it's sure been good to be here. The Bible declares in the Revised Standard, beginning at the 8th verse of the 23rd chapter, sharing with your neighbor now would be a good thing. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, that he does for me. He performs what is appointed for me, and many such decrees are with him. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. I want to look again at the 10th verse. The Bible declares, but he knows the way I take when he has tried me. Say that with me. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Don't be afraid. I shall come forth as gold. Look at your neighbor and put a big smile on your face. Better yet, smile first, then look at your neighbor. Elsewise, they'll think you're pretending with them. Smile and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
I've been knocked down,
but I'm getting up.
Amen.
I've been knocked down, but I'm getting up. The Bible declares that when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When one claims to love the Lord, and I'm not going to take long today. I know y'all looking at y'all timepieces already, but if you help me, it ain't going to take long. When one has claimed that they love the Lord, when you stood before the people of God and you've given your testimony and you have committed your way of life to the Lord, then in every aspect of that, in every consideration of your testimony unto God, you ought to be able to stand with every fiber of your being and sing to the top of your lungs that I really love the Lord. When you have made your commitment to God and you're sure of the way in which you're traveling, regardless of what might occur along the journey, you still ought to be able to tell somebody that you love the Lord. And I want you to understand that it is easy to sing when you're standing. That's why Pastor always tells you, you can't praise God as well sitting down as you can standing up. That's why I tell you, if you're on your way somewhere, you ought to stand on your feet as an indicator that I'm getting up out of here. I'm tired of sitting in a place of do nothingness, so that I might stand and at least let the devil know that I'm on my way somewhere. Standing is an affirmation of possibility. So that when one stands, you look at them and you'll notice in a crowd, even now, all of you are seated. If one were to stand, some would turn to see what's going on. All right. Y'all might as well say amen, because all it takes is somebody to get up and walk while I'm preaching and y'all forget all about preaching. And start watching folk walking. Right. Say amen.
Amen.
And I tell you, beloved of God, that when you're standing, it makes a difference in your life. I've come by this morning to inquire of you, what happens when you get knocked down? Well, what happens to our testimony when we get knocked down? And see, some of y'all want to sit here and be all cute and refined because you got on a dress that cost more than your last dress, but that's all right. I don't have a problem with that. You can sit here and act like you ain't never been knocked down, but I see the bruises on some of y'all. I can tell, because you don't walk like you used to walk. You ain't shouting like you used to shout. Matter of fact, you ain't even looking up. You got your eyes cast down. But I'm here to tell you that when you've been knocked down, baby, get ready to get up. Say amen, somebody. You must understand that it is the devil's job. Y'all don't mind if I talk like this, do you? To raise hell in your life. Oh yeah, you know, it's his responsibility to mess up your life. It is his job to go around listening to that musical melody you've been singing up here, Wendy. It's his responsibility to take notes of who gave testimony on Sunday. He goes around with a video camera and a tape recorder, got his own little crew, we call them imps of the devil, and they're going around reporting to and fro who it was shouting in there on Sunday morning. Who was that running up and down the aisle on Sunday? And you know, when you get outside, the devil's getting ready to knock you down. Yes, Lord, he's getting ready to launch an attack on your life. That's why I'm telling you, beloved of God, you might be knocked down, but you got to get up from there. Say amen, somebody. Matter of fact, look at the name, tell him, get up off of that float. Matter of fact, let me show you I'm right about it, because the Bible indicates, it ain't going to take me long, I'm on a run here. I feel this one inside. The devil went by and suggested to God that Job was faking the funk with the Lord. He suggested to God that as long as you blessing Job, as long as you letting Job stand up, he gonna testify like that. As long as you letting him stand up, he got cattle, he got houses, he got children, and he got wealth. And matter of fact, Job living good, children living good, everybody that come around Job way been blessed. Look at him down there handing out alms to the poor. Look at him stand up in the synagogue just as proud as he can be. But I suggest to you, God, that if you were to change the circumstances in Job's life, that he would change his testimony about you. I suggest to you, God, if you take Debbie Campbell's promotion and give it to that old hateful woman that's sitting next to her, I bet she wouldn't show up next Sunday. I suggest to you, God, that if you were to take Carrie Scott's Toyota and give her a Pinto, she wouldn't drive up to the church so often to offer her services unto other folk. I suggest to you, God, that if you make it where Wendy can't sing Jesus at the Center of My Joy, she'd start pouting and having a pity party because things ain't going her way. I suggest to you, God, that if you were to take away Mrs. Parker's position where she calls herself a manager and has a desk of her own and put her back on the assembly line where she gotta break her pretty fingernails and wipe her Maybelline cause sweat's rolling down her brow. I suggest to you, God, if you take away their fine houses, take away their Lexus, take away their Mercedes Benz, take away their bank account. Y'all looking at me kind of funny. I suggest, God, that if you knock them down a peg or two, the church house wouldn't be so full on Sunday, wouldn't be all that shouting going on, wouldn't be all that singing going on. But the devil is a liar, because God is able to do anything but faith. I am suggesting to you that the devil's got your number, baby. He went by the Lord's tabernacle this morning and told the Lord that you were lying in church. Help me, somebody. Told the Lord that if you were to slap them and drop kick them a little bit, if you were to repossess some of their possessions, I bet you they wouldn't praise you like they praised you. But I'm here to tell somebody, you can get knocked down. You will get knocked down, but you better get ready to get up. I'm on my way somewhere. Listen to me. When it happens to you, y'all don't mind if I help you out, do you? I didn't say if, Junior. I said when it happens to you. Look at the name and tell them, oh, it's going to happen. You must understand that the will of God is so attractive in that the Lord has placed in certain little clauses. I like the Lord because he's got clauses when it comes to the devil. See, you know, the devil will mess with you with your Holy Ghost anointed self. The devil will mess with you, but God's got a clause that says, listen, you can't go but so far. Aren't you glad God got a clause? Look at the name, tell him, God got a clause. He said, listen, when the devil comes in and he's trying to raise hell in your life, and he will do that, and you need to rest assured that those of you who desire to be finger pointers, we don't need no more finger pointers in the house of the Lord. Amen. Matter of fact, look at the name and tell him, listen, don't point, just pray.
Don't point, just pray.
Amen. Now tell somebody else, don't point, just pray. Amen. Matter of fact, you might know somebody specifically that need that. So if you need to move around, go ahead and do it. But you need to tell somebody, don't point, just pray.
Don't point, just
see, because there are a whole lot of folk that are a member of the ITYS club. You know the ITYS club, don't you? That's the I told you so. Whole lot of folk are charter members in the I told you so club. Them the folk that sitting around waiting on you to make a mistake so that they can tell everybody, I told you so. But let me tell you something, while you're pointing one, you better realize you got three coming back at you. Say amen, somebody. And you must understand that your committee membership is in jeopardy, because as long as somebody's praying, God will make a way somehow. Say amen, somebody. You got to realize, let me tell you something. Oh, I feel a help coming on. Let me tell you something. You better realize this. Maybe you hadn't thought of it this way. But the more folk talk about you, that's the more reason they get folk to pray for you. Say amen, somebody. That's why I'm so glad when folk talk about reverence. I'm so glad when they criticize the ministry. I'm so glad, because the more you hurt, the more other folk try to help. Yes, sir. The more folk try to hurt you, that's the more other folk pray for you. Am I right about it? Let me get a witness in here. Anybody ever had somebody walk up to you and say, you know what, I just feel like praying for you? Oh, yeah, I feel it like just like that. That's a real thing. I'm telling you now, don't worry about it when they try to beat you down. Don't worry about it when folk messing with you, because when they're doing that to you, as they're trying to destroy, God's trying to develop. Help me, somebody. So what he said, listen, you better understand that the devil is a coward. He can't stand to confront you face to face. He can't stand to let you know where it's coming from. That's why every now and then you have to understand that when you get knocked down on the canvas of life, you got to let your song be more significant. You got to let your stand be more significant. Because when your voice is trembling, God's trying to vibrate something through your spirit. When you're sitting there shaking in your boots, God's trying to develop something to enhance your walk with him. As your tears are flowing, God's just cleansing out the junk, getting ready to do something to give you joy. As you're sitting there with a heartache, God's trying to bring up a hallelujah. Help me, somebody. You better understand that while you're standing making your statement, the angels in heaven are getting ready to launch an attack on your enemies. That's why the Lord said you can hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. You ain't got to take no karate. You ain't got to go work out in the gym. What you need to do is fall down on your knees and have a little talk with Jesus. Say amen, somebody. So he said, listen, you got to understand that no matter how many times they knock you down, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got to learn how to understand that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And I'm here to tell you, God don't make no whims. You better hear what I'm saying in here. Sitting here acting like you don't understand this preaching. You better understand, God don't make no wimps. I'm here to tell you now that in as much as you are still yet alive, and as much as you have made it to the house of God this morning, you might have been knocked down, but it's well past time for you to get up. Say amen, somebody. Look at Brother Joe here. Here he is knocked down in his situation. Friends coming back talking all kinds of crazy stuff. And y'all know the story, so I ain't no need to be wasting much time there. I need to come on across the field. But you need to understand that you got to look around and realize that if you're down there, the Bible says ain't no depths you can go to that God ain't already been. Are you listening to me? You need to understand while you're down there, instead of pouting, go ahead and pray about it. Because I'm here to tell you, beloved of God, that there is a special something to come into realize that you've been knocked down. Can I slow down here for a minute? What you don't understand is that being knocked down is one of those things that are part of life. Mm-hmm, yeah, you know, I know some of us have been fooled. We've been misled to think that, you know, if we did such thing right, that we'd earn enough bonus points that we wouldn't ever get knocked down. But see, that ain't so. Now, the fact of the matter is that the bigger you are, the harder you fall. Amen. Those of you who want to be spiritual giants, you got to always remember there is a Goliath mentality that must exist even in the saints of God. You got to understand that. See, sometimes y'all think because you done got big, it's going to take something big to knock you down. No, baby, it can take little old something just knock you silly as you can ever be. Am I right? Any of y'all ever been knocked silly by something you thought really wouldn't make no difference? Oh, don't be afraid to raise your hand. I turned the video cameras off already. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, you thought you were past that. You know, you thought you had got to a point in your life where stuff like that wasn't going to bother you no more. Oh, y'all know I'm talking right up here. So, Scott, I got to say no more, because that's the only way they're going to understand what I'm saying. You had gotten to a point that you thought you had developed your spiritual armor. You know, you had your breastplate on and your helmet of salvation and your sword of righteousness. Your feet were shod with the preparation of the gospel. You learned how to yobashalaloto, and you thought you had a little oil in your sack, and you done threw a little water on a few things, and you done touched a few folk, and they jumped up, and you jumped up, and then it happened. One of them things that you thought wasn't going to make no difference. And then the next thing you know, you sitting over there with a handkerchief full of snot and tears, crying. You know you cry like that. Ain't no need to act like you cry all refined. I'm gonna sit there. You don't cry like, no, you cry. Nobody don't even understand what you're saying. But the Bible says that he understands the moanings and groanings of his people. See, when folk don't understand, God knows just what you're talking about. Say amen, somebody. So what does he teach us? Hurry up, pastor. We got to go somewhere. First of all, let me tell you what the song ought to be. First of all, you got to understand that when that does happen to you, don't take it personal. No. Don't take it personal. As a matter of fact, your neighbor, that sometimes you got to go down to get up. Oh, y'all like that part. Okay, I'm coming on around. Let me say, first of all, Job said, listen, I've been delayed, but I'm determined. It's right there in the text, verse 8. He said, listen, I've experienced some problems. I've had this problem. He said, I was looking for the Lord. He said, I went forward. He wasn't there. And I went backward. You know, that's a delay. You know, when you're trying to go somewhere and you can't get nowhere. He said, I've been delayed, y'all, but I'm determined. Because I understand that sometime when I'm down, it's just a precursor to me getting up. He said, no, I've experienced my problems along the pathway. And some of y'all set out with great intentions in your Christianity. When you got saved, you thought everything was just going to be like a bed of roses. You thought when you got saved, all of a sudden, you know, your bills was going to get paid and your new car was being delivered by the truck. And you thought the UPS man was going to bring you all kinds of goodies. But I'm here to tell you, Job said, I've been delayed, but I'm determined. And I'm here to tell you now, don't get caught up, because along your pathway, when you go forward and then you wind up going backward, don't get frustrated because everything don't go your way. Don't get bent out of shape because them same old problems keep occurring. You come to church on Sunday and you get a spiritual high only to step outside and get a spiritual depression involved. But that's all right, beloved of God, because see, when you get delayed, it's just a temporary precursor to your deliverance. Say amen, somebody. He said, I've experienced this situation, and I'm here to tell you now, beloved of God, as holy as you are, you still gonna have some delays along your journey. You don't think the children of Israel genuinely sit around intending to be wandering around for 40 some odd years, do you? It shouldn't have took them that long, just like Gilligan stuck out there on that island on a 3-hour tour. But I'm here to, y'all act like y'all don't know Gilligan. I'm here to tell you now, you will be delayed. Look at your name and tell them you're going to get held up. Amen. But let me tell you something. When you get held up, God getting ready to bless up. So you understand. He said, listen, I know that's happening. Then the other thing he said, even at that, in verse 9, I'm going to walk on through here because I need to get on home. In verse 9, he said, listen, when he was on the left, I couldn't behold him. He said, when he was on the right, I couldn't get right. Let me tell you, he said, my perceptions were polluted. In other words, he said, when I was trying to visualize the hand of God, when I was trying to see how the Lord was going to work this thing, I couldn't see it. Any of y'all ever had your perceptions polluted? Amen. Yes, Lord. It happens to the holiest of us. You're trying to see how the hand of God is active in your life. And the pastor is up there preaching all this good preaching and telling us about how the Lord will work it out somehow. And how I turn it over to the Lord and he worked it out. And he's my center and all that stuff. He's sovereign. And yet I'm sitting here waiting on God to do something. Don't look like God doing nothing. I'm calling up to heaven and they got me on hold. I'm trying to get my timber sent up and the log truck broke down. I'm trying to get a prayer through and look like the ceiling of my house is made out of anti-prayer material. Help me, somebody. But I'm telling you now that I thought I saw how the Lord worked in grandma's life, and I thought I saw how the Lord worked out in mama's life. But yet, when it comes to me, my perceptions are polluted. Well, let me tell you why you can't always see it, because you're too close to the situation. You're too close to it because it's you this time. Help me, somebody. Yes, Lord, when you saw other folk getting blessed and you were praying for other folk and they were getting healed, but see, you're a little too close to your own situation. Help me, somebody, because you're the one that go to bed with it. You're the one that wakes up with it. You got it on your job. You got it in your car. You're trying to listen to the gospel station and you can't get nothing but static in your spirit. I'm here to tell you, you're just a little too close to the situation. What you need to do is back off and take another look at this thing. Help me, somebody. You need to back off and take another. What you need to do is get outside of yourself and look at yourself the way God sees you. Because what you're looking at is the brokenness, but God is looking at the opportunity for blessedness. You're looking at the problem and God is looking at a way to perform a miracle in your life. You can't understand that your sickness
is just a part of your healing. You don't understand how not having it is an opportunity for God to give it to you. Help me, somebody. I wish I had a praying church in here. I'm trying to deliver somebody. I want you to understand that your perceptions are polluted. Other folk are watching you grow and you can't see yourself grow. You remember when you were just about knee high to an aunt and your auntie comes in at the family and you're talking, my, look how you done grow. And to yourself, you haven't done anything. But I'm here to tell you now, I didn't come from my mama's womb 6'5", 227 pounds. I had to do some growing. And what the Lord is doing in your life is he's steadily bringing you up at the right pace. Tell your neighbor, I'm on the right pace. So then he said this. He said, hurry up, pastor. He said, secondly, that I also realized that my devotion had paid great dividends. What I'm trying to tell you, beloved of God, is that you, if you hold fast to the profession of your faith. You done bragged about how you love the Lord and you done bragged about since I've been with Jesus, he done made a difference in my life. Yes, fellas, I got my hand up on the position of authority. You done bragged about how the Lord blessed you real good and my chillens is going to colleges I couldn't pronounce. I'm driving stuff. I don't have to worry about the payment because my man taking care of me. Well, see, what you don't realize, the love of God, is your devotion is paying the great dividends. It ain't because your man got a good job, it's because you serve a living God. It ain't because your children's so smart, it's because you serve a living God. It ain't because you've done everything right, it's because your sins have been forgiven. Help me, somebody. I tell you now, you ought to be thankful to God that your devotion is paying dividends. I'm telling you now that serving the Lord is going to pay off after a while. You got to hold on just a little while longer. I know it gets tight sometimes, but I'm telling you that serving the Lord is going to pay off after a while. What you must understand, listen, notice what Job said. I know I got to hurry y'all in up. Oh my God. Choir sang too long today. That's what happened. Listen to me. Can I get this across to y'all? It ain't going to keep you from coming back next Sunday, is it? First of all, notice why the devotion pays off such great dividends. Verse 11, he demonstrates that I stayed. Tell your neighbor, I stayed. It's right here in the text. He said, my foot held fast. Woo, I'm so glad that I stayed. See, some of y'all want to run too fast. Some of y'all want to leave just because it's getting a little tight. You know, you want to get up and get out. But no, no, no. Job said that my devotion paid dividends because I stayed. See, Miss Job came in and told Job, look, we ought to pack on up and get out of here. And y'all to curse God and go ahead and die. Sometimes folk want you to die because they know you done left them something. I ain't trying to get in your insurance policy, but y'all know, folk know when you're going to leave them something. Amen. I'm telling you now, you got to learn how to stay. Amen. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to change churches because they scandalize your name. You ain't got to change your membership because you didn't pay your dues. Amen. You ain't got to leave town because you got caught. Other folk going to get caught too. Other folk ain't paid their dues, and other folk got a scandal with their name on it. And you got to understand that God hadn't picked you out just because he don't love you. As a matter of fact, I told you that sometimes your situation comes to demonstrate how much God really loves you. Say amen, somebody. It is just like the favorite child. You know, every mother and father might have a favorite son or daughter. You don't want to admit that publicly, especially around the other children. But you know in your secret moments, you got one that's your favorite. Amen. I'm looking at Annie and Lewis now. And I'm suggesting to you that maybe April is the favorite of one and Ashley is the favorite of the other. Now I'm looking at Grandma and I'm thinking perhaps one of them is the favorite grandchild among all of the grandchildren. But I'm here to tell you that sometimes it is the favorite child that seems to experience most difficulties in life. And the reason why the favorite child oftentimes experiences the most difficulties is because the support chain is more established in their lives. See, what I'm trying to say to you is, beloved of God, you who have been catching it coming and going, it might be an indicator that you're really somebody special to the Lord. It might be an indicator that the Lord realizes that more arms are going to embrace
embrace you when you're in trouble. It may just be that the Lord realized that there are more folk praying on your behalf than they are praying on another's. Help me, somebody. So instead of thinking that the Lord doesn't love me anymore, instead of you getting ready to jump off the James River Bridge and drown your sorrows in the muddy waters of the James, I suggest to you that you come on down to the altar and have a little talk with Jesus. I suggest to you, my friend, that you ought to hold on just a little while longer. Not only did Job indicate that staying was a devotional dividend, but he also said, I submitted myself to the will of God. I'm here to tell somebody that you better learn how to submit yourself to both trials and triumphs. Some of y'all don't mind when the Lord bless you real good. Y'all don't mind when he opens up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But what do you do when the Lord puts you in a shanty down by the river? What do you do when the Lord closes up the blessing line and puts you on the burden line? Help me, somebody. Y'all don't like it when the Lord tries to take you through a little bump in the road, but I'm here to tell you that the Bible says he'll be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. The reason why you must submit yourself is right here in the text in verse 12. I told you I'm going to walk my way through. He said, I never departed from the command of his lips. In other words, beloved of God, whatever God says for you, you might as well say, yes, Lord. As a matter of fact, can I help somebody this morning? Why don't you just look up toward heaven and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever you're going to do, I'm going to submit myself to that. Because one thing I've come to learn about God is that as long as he's got his arms around me, as long as he's got a shelter over me, as long as he's got a rock and I can hide in the cleft of the rock, I do know that as long as I say yes, Lord, that the Lord's got my best interest in mind. I might have to cry sometime. I might have to lose something. My friends may turn their backs on me. The church folk may not love me like they used to. Mama may not call long distance. My wife may not kiss me on my cheek. My children may not want to smile and own me as their father. But one thing I know, the Bible says, below, behold, it doth not yet appear what I shall be. But when I appear before him, I'm going to look like him. And I'm so glad, I said I'm glad that I submitted myself to the Lord. If the Lord gotta break me, go ahead and break me. If the Lord gotta beat me, go ahead and beat me. But I'm so glad this morning that when the Lord has finished with me, I shall come forth. I said I shall come forth as gold. That's why the last thing I want to tell you is my destiny has already been decided. God already knows how this thing gonna turn out. God already knows that everything gonna be alright. Am I right about it? Some of y'all look at me kind of funny. Act like you don't know where I'm going with this. But I wanna tell somebody that Job said, I got a pathway of life. I've been going this way. I've had some trouble along my path. My friend suggested that I ought to get off this path and go another way. But I held on to God's unchanging hand. I held on through the storms of life. They were raging. The wind was blowing. The waves were getting high. But I held on to God. And I want to tell somebody that if you hold on to God, if you hold on to God, he'll make a way for you. Am I right about it? I want to tell somebody that when you come through the trial, you're going to come forth as gold. And gold is worth a whole lot of money. But not only is it worth a whole lot of money, but it's worth every bit of love that Jesus gives. Am I right about it? I wish I had somebody that knows what I'm talking about. He said, I've decided to go on and follow the Lord. He said, I've decided that whatever God's going to do, it's going to be all right with me. I've decided
decided that ain't nobody gonna turn me around. I've come too far to turn back now. I've been through too much to give up my pride. I've had too many heartaches to start crying all over again. I gotta learn how to get up off the ground. I've gotta learn how to tell God thank you. I've gotta learn how to praise his name. I heard David saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want to ask somebody, have you been down on the canvas? Have you ever been down? Have you ever had your heart broken? Have you ever cried all night? Have you ever been set back? Have you ever been disappointed? But didn't God show up and make it all right? Won't God make it all right? Can you say yeah? Have you ever tried him? Have you ever tried him? Some of y'all looking at me kind of funny, act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I want to tell somebody that when you call on the Lord, he will, I said he will hear your cry. I'm so glad, I said I'm glad I can call on the Lord in the midnight hour. I can call on the Lord when I'm in my sick room. I can call on the Lord when I'm in the bread line. I can call on the Lord and he will say yeah, say yeah. Have you ever called on him? Have you ever called on him? Ain't God all right? Ain't he all right? He'll make a way for you. I can see my Jesus out there on Calvary's cross. They thought they had him knocked down. I can see my Jesus with the nails in his hand. They thought they had him knocked down. I can see my Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head. They thought they had him knocked down. The Bible says they pierced him in his side. The Bible says that they put him in a borrowed tomb, thought they had him knocked down. But I hear the heavens declare that one day soon, as a matter of fact, early on Sunday morning, he's going to be getting up one day real soon. I know you're down right now, can't stand on your feet. I know you're down right now, the weight's kind of heavy, but the heavens do declare one day soon you'll be getting up, and you won't just be getting up, but you'll get up with all power, all power, all power. Say it. He'll give you power. Won't God give you power? Won't God give you power? Won't God give you power? Power to love everybody. Power to pay your bills. Power to walk right. Power to talk right. He'll give you power. Power. You've been knocked down, but it's time to get up. You've been sitting in the house of praise and can't praise. It's time to get up. You've been worrying about it. It's time to let go and trust God. He said, I know you're down, but it's time to get up. You've been wondering how this thing gonna turn out. He said, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. You've been wondering, how am I going to explain this? He said, in the day that you need me, he said, I'll speak. And no man can shut my mouth. I'm telling you now that you've been down, but it's time to get up. You done cried enough now, it's time to get up. You done paste enough floor marks in your carpet, it's time to get up. You done sit here and you done twiddle your thumbs. You done pull a stitch out of your garment. You done scuffed up your shoes now. You done banged up your head. You done gone so far now as to plan your own demise. But the Lord says it's time to get up. And I'm convinced that your destiny is already decided. See, God has a way that no man can understand. You don't even realize. Sister Robinson's been around a long time. But where she is today, God saw that before Sister Robinson was even right. Sister Robinson. As a matter of fact, before Hilda was Hilda, God was God. Before you even got out of your bed this morning, centuries and years and eons ago,
God so lazy standing in the very spot that you stand. Your destiny is already decided. Before Junior Woodson was even as big as Junior Woodson has become, when he was a little bitty junior and didn't know what he was going to be, when he was dreaming of being a fireman or doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, his destiny was decided. And you know what's really good about God deciding your destiny? You can't mess it up. Oh, help me somebody. Oh, no, you can't mess this up. No, you got to realize that even little Mitchell here, the destiny is already decided. Nothing you can do about it. You can wish him ill. You can hate him. You can roll your eyes at him. Had another one of them Mitchells coming up the road. That's right, because his destiny decided. You couldn't knock him off the sidewalk if you wanted to. Because the God that I serve is an awesome God. My destiny is already decided. You know what? And Job also identified that. I didn't have time to preach like I wanted. I got to let y'all go. Y'all didn't say amen. Amen. He also identified this, that your distractors are determined to delay you. Don't you let nobody tell you what you ain't going to be. Dream as far as you want to dream. Be whatever you believe God to be. And listen, don't get affected by loss. I'm speaking to somebody's spirit now. Don't get affected by loss. You're going to lose some things. Sometimes the very things that you thought you needed to make you complete were in your way to being a better you. You got to lose some things. You've been going around here trying to get everything in order. You think I need this, and this to be that. And God is sitting back going, that ain't it. I told the Thursday Night Thunder crew to look in that mirror downstairs and tell yourself, this ain't it. This ain't all of me. The Bible declared that the Lord is a destiny maker. He said, I speak it and it is. What God has for you is for you. And you might be down today. You may be heartbroken. You may be struggling with something. I don't know what it is. You might be trying to figure out now what next. Can I tell you what's next? God. He's next. As a matter of fact, he was first. He was second. He is your all in all. So what if you're down? So what? So what if they lay you off? That's all right. I know you're thinking, well, Reverend, I got to pay my bills. I know God knows too. So what if they don't promote you this time? Reverend, I can't see it. I told you sometimes your perceptions are polluted. You can't see everything. Pastor Paul says we see through a glass darkly. I don't know about you, but if you look through something darkly, that means you can't see it well. It's 2000. February the 6th. Am I right about it? How many of you saw February the 6th like this? See, you don't have to see everything. You serve a God that's everything. No matter what you're going through, I know it's tough. I know that. But you got to learn how to trust God. You got to learn how to believe him in spite of what it looks like. If you're in darkness today, I must remind you that he is a light that no man can extinguish. You're struggling today? There's strength in your struggle. You're all alone. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You feel like crying. He says, I am a comfort
in your time of need. Sometimes you just got to sit back and really look at this thing a little different. Your destiny has been determined. When I stand and look around, I don't see this. I'm seeing hundreds of people's lives change. So when I look at you, I'm looking past you. No disrespect. I ain't mean. I'm just a visionary. Because I know what the Lord has spoken for us. Sister Robinson said something to me one day about a couple of months maybe ago. She said, "Reverend, it's so nice to see those pictures. I just wish I could be here to see it all come to pass." And the Lord said to me, tell her that she is that picture. Because everything that we are, we're all a part of it together. And see, what you got to understand is no matter what you're going through right now, it doesn't end there. Are you listening to me? I don't care what's happening to you right now. It does not end there. As long as God sits on the throne, your destiny has been determined. I'm going to be bitter, Lord. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm going to thank God for it. Everything that God has for you is for you. We invite you to come today because I believe that there is a destiny for you. I don't care what hospital you go to. I don't care what jail your sons or daughters, your husbands, your brothers or sisters are in. I don't care who their lawyer is. I don't care if you don't have a lawyer. I don't care what other folk know about you. God is still able to do anything but fail. So you tried everything else. Try Jesus. No, this time, try Jesus. No. This time, try Jesus. Don't try the deacons. They got things they're dealing with themselves. Don't try the pastor. I'm telling you, this time, grab hold to the hem of his garment. And I don't care what hellhound is on your trail. Hold on till you get what you came for. And then stay to see what's next. Hold on. God wants to bless you in this place. Somebody today, you ought to come and be a part of your destiny. I'm telling you now that if you would only trust him, you would be so much amazed at how wonderful he really is. You'd be amazed. I know you've been coming to church, and I'm not criticizing your relationship as it is, but you ought to make it better. Would you come today? Would you come experience the love of Jesus? The doors are open. We invite you to come. How many of you believe that the Lord has a destiny for you? I need the believers of God to stand on their feet. I need you to stand. I told you, standing says something. I want you to stand. We're not going to be much longer. We're going to go home. You hadn't been to church in so long, you ought to be able to stay a little while. Is that all right? Not too bad. Matter of fact, this is great. Isn't it great to be here? Yeah. Put your arm around somebody and tell them it's just great to be here. Hey. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You hear that song that's playing? Now, that says God will do what he said he will do. He will come through. And I want you to know that today. There's no weapon that is formed against you that shall prosper. Sometimes you're going to get knocked down, but you're going to get up. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Lord has given me the authority to tell you this. That inasmuch as you have been beaten before, those things that used to beat you won't beat you anymore. Now, what am I saying? What am I saying? Listen to me. Listen to me. God has given you a new way to fight. Thank you. I'm not talking to folk who don't understand this. God has given you a new way to fight. God is telling me to tell you to put your hands down. You don't have to talk to your enemies. You don't have to talk to that situation anymore. You don't have to let your blood pressure go up. As a matter of fact, when they start talking to you now, stop talking foolishness. Turn the spiritual egg on. Shut them out. The Lord said that whenever you are confronted with those conditions, he said, I want you to call me. You don't have to get eloquent. You ain't got to try to impress God with your ability to speak. But he said, I'm going to teach you a new way to fight. He said, I'm going to teach you to handle all things by prayer. Now somebody's sitting here thinking, Reverend, that's simple. I've been doing that. No, you're going to do it different now. Because the word of authority has come from the man of God. And the Lord is telling me to tell you that your destiny is too important for you to let foolish folk hold you up. Don't you worry about what they think of you anymore. Don't you worry about what they said about you anymore. Don't worry about who don't like you. Because you wear your hair this way or because you didn't come in and pour their coffee right and none of that kind of stuff. God said, I'm giving you a new authority over every situation. No weapon formed against you. No enemy. No lie. No harm shall come nigh unto your door. Your children are going to be blessed because you pray. Your job, your home is going to be blessed. Folk you've been praying for are going to call you on the phone and tell you that something happened to me. Give God the glory. Give God the glory. You're going to go home today, and I'm going to let you go. I want you to listen to that. No weapon. God will do what he said he will do. He will come through. And I know he will. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. Father in heaven, in the precious name of Jesus, I hear you speaking a word of confirmation and encouragement today. For Lord, so many of us have gone through trials and tribulations. We've been wounded and left to die. We've been set aside and left without a memorial. People we trusted have disappointed us. things we thought were so important to making us whole have left us feeling empty and alone. We moved, we relocated, thinking that we could go to a place and get a fresh start, but now it seems as if that was the worst mistake we could have made. It put us in a place where we were away from our family, whom we needed so much. It put us in a place among strangers who didn't love you the way we loved you. And when we tried to express that love, they criticized us and tried to take away our spirit. Tried to make us believe we were fanatical. They told us it wasn't necessary to serve you in that manner. So we compromised. We thought it best to be loved by man and appreciated by them, and we forgot about you. I mean, we came by every now and then and we prayed to you, but it wasn't the same. Lord, we want to go back. Our precepts were polluted. Our pathway was problematic, and we were trying to go forward, but yet we found ourselves going backwards. We looked left, we looked right, and we couldn't see you as we saw you before. But we've made up our mind today that we're going to stay. We're going to submit ourselves, and we shall survive. We're getting up now. My hurts are healing. My wounds are closing. My mind, my heart, my soul, it turns to the Lord. God, I thank you right now for blessing these who have come. We crown them now with a fresh anointing. We seal them. Thank you, Lord. By the Holy Spirit. Healing. Deliverance. A breakthrough. A miracle. Hallelujah. Cancer, you're a liar. Arthritis, you're a liar. Depression, you're dismissed. You can go now. Broken marriages are being healed. Hard-headed children are becoming obedient. Thank you, God. Spiritual warfare is underway now. We're fighting a different way. We trust you, God. Touch our mothers, our daughters, our wives, our sons, our fathers, our husbands. Bless the babies. We're getting up now. We're going forward. Not looking back. Satan, you're a liar. The blood of Jesus is against you. We declare victory in Jesus' name. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout hallelujah.
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 Look at your neighbor and tell them, neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm getting up now.
Now
the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each of you. Henceforth, now and forever. Go in peace. God loves you and so on.